Welcome to River Edge Podcasts. We hope this message inspires and encourages you today.
Good morning, everyone. Kids, you can go out to rec. You've already gone. I was stuck in a moment. Okay. Father, thank you. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you for your steadfast love. Thank you that you are faithful. You are true. There is no shadow in you. No one can steal your light. Your light shines through everything. Holy Spirit, shine your light in our lives today. Shine your light in our minds. Shine your heart in our lives. Shine your light in our lives. I love how David speaks about, search my heart, God. Father, just through these next few moments together, as we're here together as a family, as your church, as your bride, just speak to us. Show us through words that we say, through these funny words that I might speak. Hopefully they're funny. God bless us. God speak to us. God guide us and direct us on the path that you have in front of us. Give us what we need for these next days. Equip us. Thank you for the strength that you've placed inside of us. You're wonderful, God. Amen. Amen. All right. All right. Whew, glad there's some water here. Everyone having a good day? My son, that happens so often. Best day ever. Worst day ever. Best day ever. Worst day. Best day. At least I know where his heart is. It's all out there. How's everyone going? You good? Oh, how good is worship? Good job, guys. Just love it how God can... You're like, God, fix this. God, change this. God, I see this big problem in front of me. And when you sort of stop that for a while and just hang around in his presence, like we were saying, we need you, Holy Spirit. You're all we want. You're all we want. It's like we allow him to walk in behind our problem and just pull something out that is integral to the problem maintaining its fierceness over us, and just pulls it out and it just goes like the kingpin, like just the linchpin in the middle of it, just, and everything falls down. You're like, wow, thanks, God. It's like, thanks for letting me in. I love it. I love it. Darcy, did you get my message? Jesse? Hello? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It'll be fine. We can move on. That's fine. I'm going to start with a story then. Not that anything that he was going to do was integral to that story, I hope. That was a joke. Excellent. Okay, so Leanne and I went on a trip in January. We flew to Singapore. Thank you, Janine. Singapore and Hong Kong. Thank you, Stephen. I did fly first class. It should be an email, Jesse. No, good.
You want to show the pictures,
don't you? I really wanted to show some pictures. Maybe they'll let me speak again soon. I'll be able to just show off. So, really loved it. It was a great trip. God's world is amazing. Traveling somewhere at ridiculously fast speeds, just like sitting there. You ever thought about that? It's traveling like 700 kilometers an hour and you're like, yeah, bring me some more cheese. So we arrived at, the reason why I want to say all this is we arrived in Singapore. Get off the plane. This is amazing, great. We'll walk along, go through immigration, like hand on fingerprints, eye scan. I walked through. Leanne got stuck.
Oh,
because I messed up the declaration, and so she got pulled away. I don't know what happened. She was gone for some time. I didn't notice for a little while. No, I did. No. So we eventually got through immigration. I went to get the bags because they were just going around and around. Got the bags and she's out like, oh, great. Now I don't know where he is. Went and got it. And then I'd organised these things to pick up like train passes, SIM cards, all these things. I was couldn't find, started this whole journey. We'd travelled, arrived, we're here, ta-da. But then I got stuck trying to find the stuff that I'd organised, trying to find where to go, where's the taxis, where, how do I get out here? Because Singapore Airlines is a big place. Singapore Airport is a big place. Got stuck in the transit. It was really kind of weird because I have travelled places before, but I got stuck not knowing where to go next. And I don't know if you've ever been travelling somewhere and you don't know where to go or what to do. You're sort of in a bit of a spot, right? And the longer you stay in that spot, the harder it is to get out of that spot. Sort of. Yeah. Well, I'm back here again. Walking around. That was me. And Leanne's just happily following me. You planned all this, right? Oh, yeah. We're fine. We'll be fine. Speaking words of encouragement. What are you doing? What are we doing? Eventually got out of Singapore. Airport, I should say. On the way, got to Singapore. It was great. Spent a few days there. Then we travelled to Hong Kong. Travelled to Hong Kong. Great. Flight. First class again. It's all on points, by the way. I'm not rich. If you want to know, of course, I still have my podcast. Vince is going to help me start that one up. Arrive there, and the same thing happens again. Like, I'm stuck in this airport, although it's worse because it's China. I'm stuck in this airport. Like, we were there for like an hour just watching poor Adrian vacillate and spin. You ever seen those superconductors? You just like they spin them and it's just dazzling on air, just spinning around. That was me just going, what do I do? Where do I go? And the longer I was there, the longer I was stuck in it. And I didn't think about it until recently because I really wanted to block it out of my memory. How long I left my wife there sitting down in certain spots just like, Okay, I'll move on. Eventually we got out of there. And enjoyed Hong Kong. It was great. Flew home. Wonderful. But I'm just, I had to, in both of those airports, I just had to get out. Just get out. Don't stay there anymore. You've traveled to this country. You're in an airport. It's not the best it's going to be. Get out, Adrian. But the longer I stayed there, the harder it was to get out. The decisions that are initially easy to make in getting out of that place were starting to get difficult, and I had to break through that and boldly go where no Adrian had gone before. I had to throw off my concerns and my worries and my timidity, chuck them aside and just boldly move out. And you know what? If I get arrested, I get arrested, you know. Going through immigration was a lot like that for me, just like, it was, I don't know why I made it a big thing, mate. You've ever made something a big thing in your head and you get through it and you're like, why was I? Okay, so I say all that in lead-in, of course, to what I want to speak on today. God, Pastor Carl has mentioned this, that God is opening up a new era for us, not a new season, not a new time, but a new era. And I feel that, and wow, just those words, God's opening up a new era, just fill me with like expectation and joy of what he's going to do. You might say, what do you mean? I don't see anything new era stuff. Well, I mean, of course you wouldn't, because it's still happening. We're just starting to see the startings of it. But God is doing something new, and let's go for it. And it's Jesus. He's the one authoring it. He's He's the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the author and perfecter of anything that happens here on the earth, because he is the Word. The Word, he spoke at the beginning, let there be light. He's also our great shepherd and our best friend. And he's writing a new chapter in our lives. And he's leading and calling us corporately as his sheep, his little sheepies, the sheep of his pasture. You're a sheepie. But sheep are known to balk at things and be stubborn. But just let's not balk or be stubborn at this new thing that God is doing. And don't let anything stop you from following our shepherd. Because is it following Pastor Stephen and Kyle? They're just following Jesus. They're following the leading of his Holy Spirit. So we're just following Jesus together, right? Yeah, excellent. We are. We're all following Jesus together. It's one of the great things I love. Just one of the things I love about God is that we're all following him, not a person. Because that person's going to make a mistake. And watch out when they make that mistake, because we'll be ready. No, we're following Jesus because he doesn't make mistakes. He never makes mistakes. You're not a mistake. You're made perfect in his eyes. Imagine if Jesus got on the cross and took a 5-minute break. That's just too hard. Let's take a break. I'm glad he didn't. He went through all the way to the end. Imagine having a bride that was kind of into it but not into marrying you. Yes, we're here, great. And then she's off talking to some guy. Like, no. You want a bride that's fully, and a husband also that's fully, but we're talking about Jesus and his bride. And that's the reason why I say that story at the start about being stuck in transit, is that God's doing something new. So it means there's an old and a new. And in between the old and the new is the transit. So let's not get stuck in the transit. Let's not do an Adrian and just get confused and analysis paralysis and China. It's so funny. It's so funny. So funny. It feels really cool where God's going. And let's not get stuck in the transition of it. As a church, as us, as River Edge Church, let's not get stuck from the old into the new. And obviously I can't say to you, hey, this is what it looks like. This is what God's doing, because he's still, I'm stuck in the airport. China's good, obviously. Singapore was great. But we need to trust the Holy Spirit. And he's leading us this way. So let's jump in. Let's boldly step into it and not get stuck back. Or be one of the people waiting for the whole bus, like the plane load to leave, to make sure that everyone actually arrives somewhere safely, and then step out, because you just last. I know the first will be last, but I think you just last. Okay. Really wish I could show those fish photos. But anyway, that's only pride. It's only me. That's fine. I can put that aside. I want to talk today from 1 Kings chapter 19, specifically verses 19 to 21. I am going to read from the New Living Translation because it looked really cool. Do you have that, Darcy? Hey, excellent. Hey, Darcy. You were taller before. Your hair's different. So I'm going to read this. So Elijah went and found Elisha. So this is Elijah calling Elisha, son of Shaphat, plowing in a field. I don't ever talk like this until I get up here. What am I doing? There were 12 teams of oxen in the field. So this is Elisha, and he was plowing with the 12th team. He was last. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak over his shoulders and then walked away. Threw his cloak over his shoulders. And then Elisha then left the oxen standing there and ran after Elijah and said to him, first, let me go and kiss my father and my mother goodbye, and then I will go with you. Elijah replied, go back, but think about what I've done for you. He says, like, who's stopping you? But I think somewhere in there is, don't forget, Don't forget about me. I don't know. Maybe. Anyway, we'll go on with that. I don't need to analyze it. Verse 21, it says, so Elisha returned to his oxen and he slaughtered them. Chopped their heads off. And then he used the wood from the plow to build a fire. I wonder if he's still carrying the cloak. Anyway, build a fire to roast. A lot of scriptures say boil their flesh, but I like roasting flesh better. Maybe boiling is to kill all the bugs in it. I don't know. But roasting sounds much better to me. Haven't eaten oxen before. Ox tongue, maybe. Anyway, he passed this meal around to the townspeople, his family as well, and they all ate. And then he went with Elijah to be his assistant. I love that idea of Elijah chucking his jacket on him. He wasn't just looking for someone to hold his coat, but it's a mantle. He's passing on. Elijah was called there to pass on his mantle to Elisha. God said to do that. I wonder if there's a mantle being thrown onto us in this new time. I wonder if there's something new we're wearing. So Elisha then sacrifices everything. I don't know what his parents did after that, but he sacrificed all his... He killed everything off that... He destroyed everything that could be part of his past. So of his past, everything's gone. Fed his family. I'm out of here. I'm now following Elijah. I mean, what an example of all in, right? There's an old flying term called balls to the wall, which sounds horrible, but it's the knuckles on the throttle all the way forward, just full tilt, all the way in. This guy is all the way in. And I was praying and thought, what's this? Because he's sacrificing something. He's not just slaughtering his animal, he's sacrificing it. What's he sacrificing? And I want to call this is me, hopefully it's God. It's a double-mindedness sacrifice. It's him sacrificing his other option, his plan B. It's him sacrificing an open mind or playing the field, or it's him sacrificing his, yeah, but if it doesn't work out, I've still got my business to run. If it doesn't work out, I've still got my house. If it doesn't work out, I've still got my health. I don't know, whatever it might be, don't sacrifice your health. But it's sacrificing that double-mindedness of like, I've got a way out here. He's all in. Everything in. So Elisha killed his oxen. So then he burned it on the plow. So he pulled the plow apart, burnt all the timber. That was like the altar of the sacrifice. Roasted it, burnt it, boiled it, whatever you want to talk about it. He sacrificed the strength of his choice to make it his way. Again, I'm bringing this picture to us moving on ahead. Sometimes we've got to, maybe it's our way or the highway, I don't know, or his way or the highway it needs to be. God, it's your way, okay? I'm going to let go of everything. I'm going to sacrifice the strength that I have. Because, I don't know, it's like giving your whole bank account. It's like giving your house, your bank account, your next 10 years worth of wealth kind of thing. He just gave everything, just everything. Elijah didn't say he had to do that because he actually asked to go back there. While he's having this party, I'm not sure. Maybe Elijah came along to it as well. Would have been a good bri. Isn't that the barbecue? Yeah. Sorry. Burned it on the plow. So the altar, he made the altar the tools of his working out his own way. Not just the strength of working out his own way, but the tools. Now, I think this can be applied to anything in our lives. This is not just us moving into this new era. It's also us with God. Our way, being his bride, being Jesus' followers, being a follower of God, putting aside double-mindedness and I've got a backup or just entertaining second thoughts. There was no second thought here. He killed the ox. And he burnt it on the altar of his manipulation and being able to work out things for himself. That speaks to me so much. Sometimes we've got to... talk about playing the field or leaving things open, but it can just be whatever is placing a wedge between you and God, if there's something separating you or just pulling you away, I had this cool thought of black holes. I love the idea of a black hole. It's crazy. I'd love to see Jesus around a black hole. His light doesn't get sucked into that, by the way. There's no gravity strong enough to pull Jesus' light into a black hole. Just saying. But anyway, you get to a small enough black hole, not a super massive black hole. If you were to get past the event horizon, got to try and remember what point I was making with this while I'm making it. Anyway, I've got to keep going. Let's roll with it. You were to put your feet past that event horizon, you would see them stretch to infinity because the gravity is so strong. All the light is being sucked away. You would just turn into spaghetti as you slowly, probably very fast actually, slow in my mind, just like, go on. Well, no, it's true. Because it fits my narrative, yeah. Now, thank you, Pastor Stephen. You're just throwing it. So, no, the wedge between you and God. It was right there. It'll come back to me. That's fine. It's stewing in the back. It's back there with the ox boiling away. So we need to kill our dreams that put a wedge between us and God. We need to sacrifice, put to death. That's once and for all. So once now and for all, for when you remember it again, you go, what if I could just go back? No, I killed that thing. It's dead. It's dead. Gee, I wish I could come up with that black hole analogy. That was really cool. Maybe Holy Spirit didn't want it, the rest of it. That's okay. So our desires, our dreams, our goals may all be good things, but if they're driving a wedge between you and Jesus, if they're pulling you away, if their gravity is sucking you away into infinity, don't put up with it anymore. It's time to die. That's it. And death is the natural process of life. We all die. But this is not allowing this thing to live in your life anymore. I'm not going to allow this to separate, to pull me away from God. Its gravity is too great. It needs to go. And let it burn on the tools of your manipulation that would try and work somehow. Now, let me know if you think this way, okay? It's okay. I can have both. I can follow God and allow this thing. It's okay. I'm working it fine. It's okay. Oh yeah, I'm juggling this massive black hole. Yeah, I can do this. I won't get sucked into the gravity and turned into infinity. No. You can't manipulate. So can I just let you know I'm first talking to me here, Adrian, not just you. If I'm looking at you more than I'm looking at other people, God's telling you something. Okay, time to burn the bridges, burn the boats. We're not going back that way. So it's metaphorically for where we're going as a church, but also in your life, for where you are as a person, as a child of God. It's time to burn the boats, kill that oxen, get rid of that dream, burn the tools, move on. And let's get out of this transit, by the way. I've spent life as a follower of Jesus in transit in that following of Jesus. I've spent years there. I don't like that place. It's time to get out. If you're there, it's time to get out. And all it takes is boldness and courage. And ignore the guilt and the shame that tries to keep you sucked into that black hole. I can't tell anyone that I've struggled with that. I can't move out of that. I can't release it. It's just too much guilt. I'm horrible. Listen. If you needed to visit a proctologist, you got no shyness and timidity shows no place in here, okay? If you don't know what a proctologist is, you can look it up, okay? I apologize, but seriously, if you need to go and see a medical someone where your clothes are in the way, there goes your timidity. Like, if we need to get before God and just be bare before him, don't let guilt and shame hold you in that place anymore. It is time to go away. Just let that sucker burn on the pile and get into his presence. Let's get in there. Let's get in there. Let's not be fearful. Don't be feared, because we've all been there. Maybe not to the proctologist. Oh, that wasn't part of my jokes for that. Thanks, Johnny. Yeah. Oh. So Elisha's sacrifice and his obedience made way for God to move in his life, made way for him to follow Elijah, learn from Elijah, receive the mantle of Elijah as Elijah disappears into heaven with the chariots. That's a fast plane. Receive the mantle and then move in what the Holy Spirit has anointed him with. Because we know in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was on people. Now it's on his church. Now it's on you and me and all of us together. So that's that jacket we've got on top of us. We've got the Holy Spirit. So what's some of the things that Elisha did? You want to know some things you can do? Because he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He has the mantle of Elijah. Okay, you're following me. He took the cloak of Elijah. He whacked the ground. He said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" Whacks the water. The water separates. I don't know if it was a puddle. Probably just a puddle. That's okay. It could be more than that. It separates and he walks through on dry. Later on in 2 Kings chapter 2, they had some spring water in Jericho and they said, it's bad. We need it cleaned up. So he gets a jar, puts salt in it and sprinkles that over the water and then says, the Lord says that I have purified these waters. There's no longer going to be death or barrenness because of it. There's power in what he says. There's authority in what he says. I don't think it's the salt going in the water because I don't think, well, maybe it'd clean up a little bit, but he actually says that it's God. I have purified the water, these waters. In 2 Kings chapter 2 again, Elisha goes up to Bethel and he's walking out. I think it's when he's coming out of Jericho and there's some boys there. Hopefully they're younger men, not just kids. They're like yelling to him, "Get out of here, Baldy. Get out of here, Baldy. On your way, mate." He turns around, calls down a curse on him, and these two bears come and rip him to pieces. So that's why, I mean, it's not boy. I hope it's just men making bad decisions. You know what I'm saying. There's power in his tongue. There is authority in his words. Is there authority in your words? I'm no good. I can't. I'm never going to. Yes, I am. I'm a child of God. I'm filled with his Holy Spirit. My words are powerful. There's a number of areas where he speaks out. I'd like to say I'm all, but I think I'll just run out of time. Doesn't matter about time though, does it? That's right. He tells the widow who comes to him, she's a widow of one of the prophets. He says, I've got no money and I'm in debt and my sons are going to be sold into slavery. He says, what have you got in your house? What do you have? She says, I've got a little bit of oil. So he tells her to go and get jars and go and fill them up. Act of faith, but also a declaration. It's a declaration. This is the way it's going to be. You probably know the story. She then starts filling this little, it must be amazing, a little cup of oil into these jars and it just keeps going and going and going until the jars are all full. Then she then goes back to him and says, what do I do now? He says, sell them. Sell them now while the price is good. Sell high. Declaration out of his mouth. He also tells a Shunammite woman that she's going to have a son. Now, in the instance with the oil, he says, what can I do for this woman? And in the Shunammite woman, he says, what can I do for her? And then he speaks out, you're going to have a son. It's not a thus saith the Lord. It's not a moment with God and God says, do this. This is him speaking kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. I feel this is right. God, do this. God, do that. This is happening. This is going to happen in life. Isn't that our prayers that we pray for each other? Like, isn't that when someone comes forward for prayer, it's like, I'm speaking wholeness into this. I'm picturing in my mind that leg being healed. I'm picturing in my mind that heart being softened. I'm picturing in my mind those arteries being clean. I'm picturing in my mind, I'm speaking it. God, you're doing this. This is what's happening. I love this stuff. I love God releasing that authority to us because he did it to Elisha. He does it to us as well. He gets some flour and shoves it on food because some luminary decided to go and pick some gourds and cook it up, and it's poisonous. And someone's eating it and goes, this is poison. So he chucks some flour on it and says, it's fine now. And they ate it. It was great. What a stew. Power in his, let's get some flour. He feeds 100 men with 200 loaves. Hey, by the way, I'm actually going through all those things I said I wouldn't do. Tells Naaman to wash in the Jordan 7 times. An axe head falls into the water, so he throws a stick in after it and it floats as well. Figure that out for gravity. I don't know. That. Crazy. Could all this have been possible without Elisha sacrificing his double-mindedness? I don't think, no, of course not. How could it be? Because he would second guess everything that was presented to him. Every problem, every situation that was brought before Elijah, he would just second guess it. Elisha, you know. I get that, Mick. Does anyone else? Yeah. Which one came first? I don't know. We're not to second guess God's power, God's authority. Have I not said? Be bold and courageous. I've already told you, go. Go and make disciples of all men. And these are the signs that are going to follow those who believe. Those who believe. Those who have set fire to their second options and their second guessing and their I don't knows and maybe not, it might not be. Maybe God wants to, I don't know, look, let's just set fire to that and follow his Holy Spirit. Let's move on. And get out of that transition phase. You may already be out of that. Just cheer me on, okay? Cheer us on. If you're out of transition, fantastic. Then pray for those of us who are in transition. It's time for us as a church to move into this new era that God has for us. Okay. I had another verse. How are we doing for time? Whoa. It's only a hot day. What does it matter, really? In James 1, just verses 5 to 8, Jesse, out of the message, it says here, if you do not know what you're doing, this is the message, pray to the Father. He loves to help and you'll get his help and he won't be condescending when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believingly, without that second thought, because you need to kill that second thought, by the way. Take every thought captive and bring it to obedience, bring it to Jesus, obedience to Jesus. People who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you'll get anything from the Master this way. Adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. In some versions, it says a person with divided loyalty or a double-minded person who's unstable and restless in all they do. It's time to ditch our double-mindedness. Time to move on. Can we pray? Yeah. Father, thank you. Thank you for your examples in the Old Testament, the New Testament, in your word that show us we can trust you. You are faithful. What you say happens. Thank you that we can burn all our other options. We can do that because you are faithful and you are trustworthy and what you say comes through. We can trust that our life will be held in your hands. Thank you, Father. I had a feeling as we're coming here, keep your eyes closed, it's fine, I'm just going to talk, of real worry and fear. Before I got up on stage, and yeah, I can get nervous getting on stage, but I feel like if you have fear or worry that holds you in check from moving to this next stage, or just out of transit, you might be stuck in transit in so many areas, you can't even count it. God says a perfect love drives out all fear. All fear. So I speak God's perfect love into that situation, into your mind and your heart. I declare God's perfect love, and you need to do that too. I receive God's perfect love. God, come in and take the linchpin out of this problem so that I don't have to worry about it anymore. Thank you for your perfect love, Father. Holy Spirit, just removing all fear and doubt. Father, thank you for guiding us. Jesus, thank you. You're the perfect shepherd. You're the author and perfecter of our faith. We're going to follow you. We're a church that follows Jesus. We're a church that's going to learn, do everything we can to learn more about Jesus. We're going to follow you, Jesus. We're going to follow where you go. We're burning everything behind us. You're our only option. Thank you that that's true. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining today. If you'd like to know more about service times or simply want to find out more about church, head to our website, riveredgechurch.com.au.